walked in here.
Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, to get you through your commute, even though it seems non-existent at this point, but more importantly, to get you through the coronavirus crisis. You are listening to The Jason Rantz Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers. So as you are stuck at home, you don't get reception in the house, you can listen on the Amazon Echo, your Google Home, or of course on the KTTH smartphone app. Got a lot to get to. Only have an hour left to do it. Some coronavirus changes are coming to Costco. We're going to get into those. We're going to tackle the shameful fundraising letter from Bob Ferguson, who is preying on the fears of folks dealing with the coronavirus. Plus, Larry David has the absolute best PSA for staying at home that I think we've seen, and we've seen a lot of them. There is a lot of news happening. It's happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So, right before the president spoke at his press briefing for the coronavirus task force, Jay Inslee gave a press briefing. I'm not entirely sure I understand the timing, all of a sudden, of the Jay Inslee press availabilities. He's doing them very, very close to the start of President Trump's press briefings, which means for a lot of folks, they are having to choose between both of them. And maybe they listen to about 5, 10, 15 minutes of the governor, and then they go over to the president or vice versa. What we've been hearing from him over the past couple days is basically mirroring what we've heard from officials all across the state, which is we need manufacturers to help us. You need to step up. We've got a test kit available that we need you guys in your manufacturing plants to help us create some of these materials.
Our test kits have a variety of things in it. Even if you can do one part of that to go into our kit, I hope that you will think about that.
So what specifically, though, do you need in that kit?
In this effort, we know that the needs are great for face shields, for gowns, for N95 masks and surgical masks.
At this point, he doesn't think we've done enough yet.
What we have done so far is not enough. We rather urgently need to increase the stocks of particularly personal protection equipment.
Now, to be fair, we are still doing a lot. And from the federal level, we've heard that the ventilators are coming in at a really good pace. And the governor did give credit to the federal government for that. But again, we still need the N95 mask. We need those gloves and surgical gowns. And a lot of companies all across the state of Washington, from Bellevue to Mukilteo and Marysville, they've stepped up and they are getting into production. But we understand that that's going to just take a little bit of time. In Pierce County, they confirmed 46 new cases. One new death. That brings the county totals to 423 confirmed cases and 7 deaths. Spokane Regional Health District reported a total of 165 cases in Spokane County with 5 deaths. In Snohomish County, we've got 40 deaths total and a confirmation of 1,304 cases across the county. Everett, at this point, has the highest with 377. You'll remember that Mayor Cassie Franklin did her stay-at-home order announcement before the governor, so she was clearly looking at some of the data coming in and getting concerned with the numbers. Linwood at 200, Edmonds 133, and Marysville with 120. Out in King County, they reported 166 new cases, so the count is now a little bit under 2,500 with about 160-plus deaths. In the big picture, and I thought the press conference yesterday by the president and Drs. Fauci and Birx made this point very clear. Washington right now is in a reasonable position to believe that this curve is going to start to flatten. Now, we've still heard from a lot of folks here in Washington State, the public health officials, saying that we expect to see the peak at about April 19th, which is why you can expect the governor is almost certainly going to extend the stay-at-home order another 15 days at the end of this 2 weeks of sort of test pattern. He's basically hinted that he's going to continue to do this. It'll get us basically a little bit past the 19th, when we believe the peak is supposed to occur. And if it starts to become clear on the 20th and 21st and the 22nd, then those numbers are going down. They're going to make the decision to maybe lessen some of the restrictions. What that means, I don't know yet. But it could certainly mean that maybe they say some kinds of businesses that were deemed non-essential can start to open up. And for a lot of folks, that can't come soon enough. We're talking about the people who are working in independent contractor positions, whether we're talking about construction workers, whether we're talking about handymen, whether we're talking about barbers and estheticians and salon operators. These are folks right now who are struggling. Then, of course, we got the movie theaters and the gyms that are still closed. So we're going to see where that ends up taking us. But for Vice President Mike Pence on Fox News today, he was touting what we are doing right now to get this under control.
It is remarkable. I had one company tell me the other day that they were building ventilators and they were going to do it on a not-for-profit basis. I mean, this is America at its best. We know we're all in this together. And we have a president who from very early on has taken one unprecedented step after another. I mean, suspending all travel from China, screening all passengers from South Korea and Italy, suspending travel from Europe, the UK, and Ireland. But in the midst of all of that, what the president's also done, Charles, is bring American industry to the table and say, we need you to step up. This is all hands on deck. And American industry has responded as never before in my lifetime.
And it's not just the American industry, it's the American people. The folks here in Washington State and around the country are doing what's best. You've got some people who are complaining, and that's normal. But for the most part, everyone is doing exactly what they need to make sure that they are being safe, that they are being smart, because they understand truly what this is all about. And a lot of the reason why I think people are taking this seriously is that daily press briefing by the president and the coronavirus task force. I think it's been incredible. Now, CNN doesn't think that, which is why they keep cutting away from it. Earlier today, I had on, as I was listening to the press briefing, I had CNN on in the background. At the start, as soon as the president started to talk, they cut away. And they would dip in now and then, and they would go for extended periods of time, and then they would cut out again. The reason why they're doing that is because they're not a news organization. I saw some folks on Twitter say, what kind of news organization would do this? CNN is not a news organization. They are an activist organization that presents news in a very unbalanced way. And they have every right to do that, but let's not call them a hard news station, because that's not what they are at all. What they did and what some others in the media did was they thought by airing all of these press briefings, people would not like the president, would have no faith in this president. But what ended up happening is something they didn't think would, didn't think could. 61% Gallup poll, 61% favorability ratings on his handling of the coronavirus crisis. ABC, 51%. So it's going to be the actual number somewhere in between there. Let's just go with 55 to keep it clean. That's not what the intent of CNN airing these was. They wanted people to not have any faith, and it didn't work. And so all of a sudden, when those numbers come out, now they're saying, oh, we're not going to air them. They're not serious. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So things are starting to change at Costco starting this week. Tegna is reporting that in their effort to step up the social distancing, Costco will be temporarily limiting the number of people who are allowed to enter their Costco stores. This all starts on Friday. Two people per membership will be allowed to come in. Now, I know that that gets in the way of a lot of folks who, at least before the coronavirus crisis, they would go to Costco as a family. They would come in with three, four, five people. You would bring your kids in tow. You can't do that anymore. So you're going to be stopped at the door. If you only have one membership card for the family, you're only allowed to bring one other person in with you. The reason why they're doing this is obvious. They can't have that many people going into the Costcos, even though they're huge warehouses, at some point kind of all go into about the same area, right? You're going for the food. You're going for the supplies. And when you have a whole bunch of people going in, especially if you're feeling cooped up and you want to get out of the house and you know the one place you're definitely allowed to go because it's essential is a grocery store, it causes some problems. And so they've decided to implement this policy. Now, there's some grocery stores all across Western Washington that have decided to basically do something similar to this. The Whole Foods that I walked by over the weekend or drove by over the weekend, they had a line. And each person in the line was 6 feet away. And you're allowed to go in only up to 100 people in the store at a time. And again, this Whole Foods that I saw is pretty massive. And the line out the door was pretty significant. And so they're doing that because they don't want everyone to just crowd around certain aisles and potentially spread the coronavirus. Again, I'm going to say this many times during this show and during this week. The new data that we have suggests that 25% of coronavirus patients don't have any symptoms. None that they could recognize. They're asymptomatic. So that means 1 in 4 people that you know might have the coronavirus and not even know it. And that one person who doesn't think he or she has the coronavirus ends up going to a grocery store that's jam-packed. That can be a problem. And so they're trying to cut down on that as much as humanly possible. They also said over at Costco, they're going to start closing their stores at 6:30 p.m. on weekdays. It's only temporarily. That's about 2 hours less than what's normal, I believe. Their gas stations on weekdays are going to close at 7 p.m. on weekend or weekdays, 6:30 p.m. on weekends. A big reason why they're doing this is they need time to both clean their stores but also restock. Now, I have not yet been inside of a grocery store since all of this. I got kind of lucky, Producer Peyton, on my Amazon Fresh order, so I've had stuff delivered, because I don't like going grocery shopping ever anyway.
It's very bougie of you, Jason.
It's very bougie. I totally understand that, but you know what? I live in Seattle. I'm going to take advantage of that. Have you been into a grocery store since all of this happened?
Yeah, I go about once a week.
Oh my God, how bad is it?
Well, because I'm working from home, I can go in the mornings where, like, there's not a ton of people. But, like, there's constantly people restocking shelves. And that's the thing that surprises me the most, is seeing how many, you know, like, vendors are there. Mm-hmm. Where I went through a store to go and get pizza, and they were out of it. And the guy looks at me and said, "What kind of pizza are you looking for?" And I was like, cheese pizza?
He open his jacket? Was he wearing, like, a trench coat?
He was like...
And then he just showed a whole bunch of pizzas hanging from inside?
No, he was just like, "Oh, let me go run to the back and see if we have any."
That's not as exciting.
He ran to the back and he grabbed me one. The dude was a hero that day.
Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, Producer Peyton is only 24, so he didn't really understand the reference I just made. He didn't understand the image that I was trying to paint.
No, the guy who,
no, you didn't.
Who
no, you
sells
didn't.
Things out of his jacket on Venice Beach. Okay. Yeah, it happens.
Couldn't come up with a local city, could you?
Nope.
You're listening to the Jason Rant Show. If you want to send me a text message, I am kind of curious your experiences out at the grocery stores. Tell me where you're going, what city you're in, and what it's like. Help inform my position on this, because right now I do kind of get the sense that folks are making it maybe a little bit too easy to get into grocery stores, and so I'm glad what Costco is doing, I'm glad what Whole Foods is doing, but are they doing it at Fred Meyer and Safeway and QFC and Winco? Send us a text, 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
If you're a non-essential business, you are closed down right now in the state of Washington. If you're a movie theater, not only are you closed down, but in a lot of ways, it's reminding people of the digital options that we have. And that's not good for the movie theater industry itself. In fact, even before the coronavirus crisis, my next guest, Craig Smith from Firehouse Theater out in Kingston, he was hoping to raise money to keep his theater afloat, not just as a business, but then getting into a non-profit status. Now, of course, with the coronavirus, there are some new challenges. Joining me on the line from Kingston Firehouse Theater is Craig Smith. Craig, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So in a lot of ways, I'm viewing the situation you're in as before and after coronavirus, because before coronavirus, you were trying to transition into a nonprofit. So how did the coronavirus get in the way of that?
Well, everything's on hold. And of course, you know, nobody knows the future, and this is putting a damper on what was already happening. Less and less people were buying movie tickets, and you know, our industry was shrinking and shifting, and now the longer people are shut down, they're going to come up with new habits, and then there's the fear of people gathering together in large groups, movie theaters, you know, the shared emotional response of a group of people. We keep people away for a while. We just don't know. Plus the studios, where everything derives from, they're shifting their openings. Some of them are going to go direct to video. There's a major concern throughout the industry worldwide.
And you're someone you're a film buff too, on top of running this movie theater. And what I like about some of the work that I saw you were doing on your GoFundMe page for the Firehouse Theater is pointing out the difference between someone enjoying something maybe on the couch versus going into a movie theater surrounded by other people and have that sort of shared experience.
Oh, yeah, of course. Think about the filmmaker, the artist. He's making it to be seen on a big screen with a group of people. You know, the laughter is stronger. The emotion, high and low, is just much stronger. It connects people. And yeah, that's how it should be seen. But, you know, I'm kind of old school, and people are getting away from it. Actually, there are some people who have never been in a movie theater. Many people have never saw a live performance of a stage play, you know. They just watch it on TV.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Just joining us, by the way, we're talking with Craig Smith of Firehouse Theater in Kingston. He's raising money right now on GoFundMe so that he can transition the theater into a nonprofit to serve the community. Lots of people enjoy the Firehouse Theater every single year. It seems like, Craig, you get more people showing up than the population of the city.
Well, that's true. You know, the greater metropolitan area of Kingston, you know, it's a small town. It's, 2,000 people, if that. But then there's, you know, Hansville, Indianola, Jefferson Beach, a lot of rural in between Kingston and Paulsbo. And then we get a lot of Paulsbo folks who come out our way because they enjoy an old-fashioned small-town movie theater, which they don't have anymore. Having grown up in the area, the only movie theater around was the Alamo Theater downtown Paulsbo. It's been gone for 30-some years. And when I opened my theater, I really designed it to be like theaters were when I was a kid. And there's a nostalgia of that, but it's also a unique feeling when you walk into a place like that, you know? It's just different than a multiplex.
So, Craig, if someone donates to the GoFundMe, where does the money go?
Well, currently, it's going into a savings account right now. And, you know, there isn't very much funds going in anymore. I was kind of surprised it was even still up and running. My son set it up. I was resistant to do it. But when we did, we got some notoriety from CBS Sunday Morning. They wanted to find a theater, I guess, that epitomizes small-town movie theaters, and they picked me. And that was based on a Wall Street Journal article that some other guy had written. And, you know, there's been a struggle going on across the United States. We were all 35mm. That's what 100 years people saw movies with 35mm. And then the studios forced digital on us all. I'm going to say 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago. And it closed a lot of theaters because it's very expensive to convert, and it's even more expensive to maintain those projectors. And so 1,400 movie theaters closed in the 10 years I've been open.
Wow. Well, we don't want to see that happen with Kingston's Firehouse Theater. So, folks at home, text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770, and I'm going to send you a link directly to the GoFundMe page for Craig Smith so you can consider a donation, big or small, whatever it is you can do to support not just a business that's struggling right now during the coronavirus crisis, but one that's got some issues going in, and we want to make sure that they're in a good position moving forward. So once we get over the coronavirus crisis, we can actually make sure that the Firehouse Theater is up and running and operating as a nonprofit, not just for Kingston, but the greater metro area. Again, text donate to 1-800-465-8770. Craig, I'll give you the last word.
Okay. Well, this is being broadcast way further around than my little town. Support your local movie theater. Most small town movie theaters that are vibrant and have a future are ones that have been converted into nonprofits and are supported by the community. You can't ever get one back once it closes. Hang on to them. They're important. They're vital. And thank you so much.
Absolutely. Again, folks, text DONATE to 1-800-465-8770, and we'll send you a link to Craig's GoFundMe page for the Firehouse Theater out in Kingston. I've been talking with the owner, Craig Smith. Craig, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're going to continue our coronavirus coverage with Caleb Heimlich. He's going to stop by, Washington State GOP chairman, talking about a rather pathetic and disingenuous fundraising email that went out over this past weekend. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Attorney General Bob Ferguson sent out a rather disingenuous and despicable fundraising email trying to make money off of a rather dangerous Donald Trump coronavirus conspiracy theory. Joining me on the line with his reaction is the pride of Puyallup, the Washington State GOP chairman, Caleb Heimlich. Caleb, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, Jason, thank you very much for having me.
So in this email, Bob Ferguson says that it's possible that the president might try to postpone or even cancel the November election. I suppose it's possible, but there's no indication that the president is even considering that.
Yeah, that's correct. And as you pointed out in your article that you wrote on MyNorthwest.com, many, many, many experts have looked at this and said, first of all, the president can't do that unilaterally. It'd have to go through Congress. You'd have to have governors and others do it. And secondly, he's given no indication that at all that that would be something that he would even consider. So the fact that our attorney general, who's supposed to be enforcing the law and in a position of public trust in a time of worldwide global pandemic and chaos, is pushing a really ridiculous conspiracy theory to try and do two things. He's trying to raise money, and he's trying to grow his list. He's asking people to sign a petition and to donate to his campaign. And, I mean, the subject line of the email was, we cannot let Trump postpone the November election. So he's running a scam. And this is literally a week after his office sent out a warning to people saying, don't get scammed during the coronavirus. Well, his campaign is running a scam of their own, trying to scam money from donors that are susceptible to being lied to, which is exactly what he's doing to them.
Well, and his office defends this by saying, well, you know, the president has done other things that we've questioned in court and we've actually won on. Except in this case, to be clear, you know, Bob Ferguson uses the Ohio postponement of their primary as an example. Number one, primaries can be postponed by governors, not the president. And at the time, the president actually said not to postpone that primary. So you can't even make a good faith argument that the president has made comments that might be perceived as being in favor of postponing the election.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, the president is very accessible right now. He's on TV during prime time every day of the week, and he has never once indicated a desire to postpone any election. He can't do that. And here's Bob Ferguson. I think it's in times like this, it's important that our elected officials actually take serious the severity of the situation. We're encouraging our candidates to make sure what any information you're putting out needs to be accurate because people don't know what's happening. I mean, we don't know when the stay-at-home order is going to be lifted. We don't know what we're going to be doing a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now. And so there's a lot of chaos. There's people don't know what's going on. So when our attorney general, who's supposed to be enforcing the law and helping people understand what's true and putting rumors aside, is actually the one perpetuating the scam and promoting these ridiculous rumors, it needs to be called out. And so we sent out a press release yesterday, and we've basically seen crickets from the mainstream media, which is very frustrating because we're here in Seattle. KUOW made the announcement, oh, we're not going to carry the president's press briefings because they need to be fact-checked. Well, how come KUOW is not fact-checking our very own attorney general when he's pushing out these ridiculous scams?
Yeah, I wonder why that is. It's because they're not a legitimate source of news and opinion. They are biased, and I have no problem with people having shows in which they're biased. I clearly am a Republican and a conservative, and that's how I view the world. But the difference is I don't pretend that I'm giving straight news. I am pretty open about the fact that it's analysis. That's what I do, and that's frankly what KEOW does, but they want to pretend that they're a news source. They are not. Just joining me, Caleb Heimlich's on the line. He's the Washington State GOP chairman. We're talking about this rather despicable email fundraising campaign that went out over the weekend from Bob Ferguson claiming that the president just might try to stop the national election in November. If you want to read it, by the way, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. This does happen at a time where we've got a third candidate getting into the attorney general race on the Republican side, attorney Mike Vasca, who's also the head of the Mainstream Republicans, an organization that I've gone to some of their events. What do you make of Vasca's entrance into the race?
Well, I think it's exciting. I think it shows that there is a widespread belief that Bob Ferguson needs to be replaced. Certainly, a belief that I definitely hold. We've had Bob Ferguson as the Attorney General for 8 years. We've seen that he's not doing a good job. He's not listening to concerns of the citizens of Washington State. He's pushing a very partisan political agenda as he sued the Trump administration some 50-plus times. And so we need an Attorney General that's actually focused on what's happening here in Washington State and that has a little bit of credibility, which, as we've been talking about with this email, Bob Ferguson has none. And it's clear Bob Ferguson wants to be governor. I mean, he was already getting ready to run for governor when Inslee was running for president as recently as last August. So this is an important race for us. As you said, we now have Mike Vasca running. Matt Larkin is running a great campaign, as well as is Brett Rogers. So we have three individuals on the Republican side. We're encouraging people to take a look, make sure they pick one, support one, and vote for that person in August. And then, just like the governor's race, we'll work to bring everybody together after that primary and hopefully unite and defeat Bob Ferguson in November.
And much like the governor's race, you're staying out of this from a perspective of backing any one of the three Republicans so far that have announced.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I think it's very important in our role as the state party that we are fair, that we allow the voters to pick the strongest candidate, because I'm here right now, not even at my office in Bellevue. I'm in my home down south of Puyallup, and I certainly don't claim to know what's best for every single citizen in Washington State. So that's why we have elections, and we want the voters to pick our strongest candidate, and whoever wins and gets the most support, that'll be our best chance to beat Bob in November, and we'll unite and support that person.
How is what we're going through right now across the state with the coronavirus stay-at-home order, how is that impacting the election in November, or just really the primary in August?
Yeah, it's certainly making, obviously, communicating with voters that much more of a challenge. I mean, we've seen from President Trump's campaign on down, pretty much nobody's doorbelling, which I think is a wise decision, but that is... Doorbelling is an important way to get your message out, and it's an important way for our legislative candidates to go talk to voters. It doesn't cost you anything, just time. And so now we're having to come up with creative ways to get that message out. One opportunity for any of your listeners that want to get involved, they can go sign up on our website. We're doing a lot of phone banking. We've got an app where people can log in and from the comfort of their own home, call voters across Washington State and talk about issues that are important to them, whether it's the comprehensive sex ed, whether it's the Democrats' spending. I mean, our state government has increased by 75% since Jay Inslee became governor. And now, as we're seeing this pandemic and the lockdown, certainly state government revenues are going to drop and significantly. And so we're going to be running a budget shortfall. And it's important that we get Republicans elected to the state House, to the state Senate. Otherwise, the Democrats' only answer to that shortfall is going to be more taxes. And that's at a time when people can't afford to do that. So even though this is a crazy time, politics are still very important. We need to get people engaged, involved, and we've got to get the message out about our great candidates that are running across the state. so we can restore some common sense to Olympia. So that's kind of one of the things that we're doing now is organizing and getting people to make phone calls.
Again, the website, WSRP.org, Washington State Republican Party Chairman Caleb Heimlich, the pride of Puyallup, actually working in Puyallup as we do this interview. I appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Jason, and thanks for getting the word out.
Absolutely. Stay healthy, stay safe, my friend.
Will do.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. More coronavirus coverage when we return right here on AM 770 KTTH. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We are live on this Wednesday afternoon, broadcasting from a super secret location not a single human being has ever seen other than myself, mostly because no one swipes right. I'm broadcasting from my home in South Lake Union. We're doing this because we want to practice what we preach. So when we say people need to stay at home, that means us as not producer Payton. I don't care where he goes. What's been interesting in all of this coronavirus crisis coverage for a very long time, the media has been pretty specifically on one point. Trump needs to listen to the experts. Whether you tuned into CNN or MSNBC, whether you read the New York Times or the Washington Post, it was the same exact message. The president needs to listen to the experts. They said that because they assumed that he wasn't listening to the experts. And yet everything that the experts were saying was that the president was listening to him. He extended these guidelines, so it's no longer 15 days to stop the spread, it's 30. We're going through the end of this month, and everyone across the country is feeling it in some way, shape, or form. Every single person. And he did that because he listened to the experts. And yet the media continues to completely ignore the experts, and the narrative out today on CNN, MSNBC, and the Washington Post, and the New York Times, is that the president now should get hit for not acting soon enough when the coronavirus became a threat. That he should have acted sooner in January. And yet it was weird because an expert, Dr. Fauci, said this yesterday.
In a perfect world, it would have been nice to know what was going on there. We didn't. But I believe, Jim, that we acted very, very early in that.
We acted very, very early. Where's the there that he just referenced? China. China. China kept data from us. China continues to keep data from us. China tried to keep this all a secret for as long as they could. China told us that this wasn't actually a crisis. They were engaged in a cover-up to protect their economy, a cover-up to protect their stance in the international community. China lied about how contagious this was, and they did not act beyond their cover-up. And as a result, as this was happening, we weren't acting the same way we would have acted had we known all the details that were kept to us. But now today, the narrative is this.
The fact is everybody saw this coming. Everybody saw this coming in early January.
That is Joe Scarborough on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Everybody saw this coming back in early January, the first time that coronavirus was mentioned on Morning Joe was January 27th. It's kind of weird because of what Joe Scarborough just said.
The fact is everybody saw this coming. Everybody saw this coming in early January.
Everybody saw this coming in early January, except, I guess, Joe Scarborough, because they didn't mention it until the 27th. And when they did mention it, their expert, Dr. Dave Campbell, said
your
this.
Your thoughts, Dr. Dave, on this, you know, explain the severe concern about this outbreak and how worried should Americans be? Should they panic?
No, Americans do not need to panic. The Chinese are already panicking, as they should, because this virus is spreading all through the central parts of China, and it's a new virus. It has never been seen before, so its mechanism of spreading is not quite known yet. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu. We are not out of the flu season.
Take this as a wake-up call for the seasonal flu. When you go out and look at some of the media coverage early on during all of this, including at a time when the president came out and said he was going to stop the flights from China, what did we hear? What did we hear coming from the media? Wired magazine said we should de-escalate the war on the coronavirus. The Washington Post said, get a grip, America. The flu is a much bigger threat than the coronavirus for now. We have story after story after story coming from the media, like the fear of the coronavirus and the reality of the flu. In fact, Cairo 7 put, amid coronavirus outbreak, doctors remind public flu is deadlier, more widespread. The AP said, is the new virus more deadly than the flu? Not exactly. The National Post said, new coronavirus may be more dangerous, may be no more dangerous than the flu, despite worldwide alarm, colon, experts. That's kind of weird, because you just said everybody knew early on in January what was going on, and yet MSNBC didn't cover it that way. But they see an opening here, because the fact of the matter is, someone knew that it was serious, and it was China, and they kept it from the world. And now they're hoping in the media now, MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, all of these, they're hoping that you don't realize that and you blame the quote unquote slow start on the Trump administration. But again, they tell you to listen to the experts. The experts have said over and over and over again the same thing.
In a perfect world, it would have been nice to know what was going on there. We didn't. But I believe, Jim, that we acted very, very early in that.
I believe we acted very, very early in that. That is the preeminent doctor talking about how quickly we took control of the situation. When will the media actually listen to the experts the way they tell Trump to listen to the experts? It's weird how that works, isn't it? Meanwhile, producer Peyton, did I tell you that I was on Tucker Carlson last night?
Last night
I was on Tucker Carlson.
Hmm.
You didn't watch?
No.
I posted the video on our Facebook page. You didn't see it there?
Nope.
What about the Twitter feed?
Nope. You have a Twitter?
Yeah, it's Jason Rance. What about the Instagram post?
No. Should I unmute you from things?
That probably would help, but since you didn't actually get a chance to watch, despite giving multiple times, now you get to listen.
Coronavirus. Now, according to the New York Post, de Blasio's administration wants to release Jose Gonzalez, a man accused of murdering an EMT by stealing her ambulance and running her over. Meanwhile, in Seattle, habitual criminal Francisco Calderon threatened to stab two men with a syringe. Can you imagine? And it was merely the latest in a very long list of crimes. But thanks to coronavirus, police released him almost immediately after arresting him. He's likely to go on to commit more crimes. Jason Rance is a Seattle area radio show host, and we're happy to have him tonight.
That's
Jason,
me.
Good to see you. So you're hearing people, notably the mayor of Washington, D.C., widely mocked by people who actually live there, announcing people who violate her orders will be imprisoned, but at the same time, they're letting actual criminals out of prison. What do you make of this?
It's absurd. It's some news media that is covering a whole lot of stuff having to do with the coronavirus, which means there are some ideologues who are basically able to sneak in some of these social justice causes. Remember, you've got politicians from Washington State to Washington, D.C., that believe that the justice system is inherently racist, that it goes after communities of color, that cops are all evil. And so now that you have an actual tragedy that's taking place across the country, both from a health perspective but also an economic perspective, people aren't necessarily paying as close attention to some of these pet projects that a lot of these politicians want to push forward. I mean, the case that you mentioned of Francisco Calderon, that's the 75th time he's been convicted about a month ago, 2 months ago. Now he gets caught again and almost immediately re-released out into the public. This is a person who's going to commit a murder, And only then will politicians here in Seattle give a damn. And it's the same all across the country, and that is a shame.
It's just a tragedy that America is facing this crisis at exactly the same time the worst people on the planet are in charge of so many places. The most frivolous, the dumbest, the most narcissistic people ever to lead anything are running our cities. How'd that happen?
And it's worse than that, too, because remember, as we are saying we're going to release some prisoners from jail, as we're not going to book most misdemeanor charges, we're also closing down gun shops because we're calling them non-essential. We're also closing down offices within different counties for people to apply for a concealed carry permit. So we're not even being allowed to protect ourselves. And we got here because a lot of big cities are run by progressive politicians with a younger demographic that are out there actually voting these people into office. Part of me says we're bringing this on ourselves. Now, it's not the fault of the folks who obviously don't back these politicians, but I do think that this should be another wake-up call that elections matter. And they are coming into November. They're trying to defeat President Trump. That means a whole bunch of other politicians who are progressives are counting on that anger coming into the ballot box, which means we all need to vote, and we need to make sure we're keeping bad politicians out of place, and we need to shine a spotlight on these issues. When we tweeted out this story on Francisco Calderon, they quickly started to change their tune on it, and we've got to do that. It's up to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, in many ways, this stuff matters much more. You know, you can be mad about what's happening nationally, but if they're letting rapists in your neighborhood, you know, that really matters. Jason, thank you for your updates on this stuff.
So if you actually want to watch the video, it's up at facebook.com/JasonRantsShow, or, of course, go on Twitter at twitter.com/JasonRants. I thought I did very well. It was a good appearance.
That's one opinion.
Lots of people reached out and said it was good.
Name one.
I mean, John.
That took a while. John who?
Well, just because there were so many, I had to go through the list.
You picked the most generic name possible?
It's not my fault that his name is generic, but his name is John.
What's his last name?
Sugar.
John Sugar? As you're broadcasting from home in your loft apartment, which is probably within a shouting distance of the kitchen where you keep your sugar?
I mean, that's your opinion.
A good opinion.
But that's an opinion. But people overwhelmingly said that I did a good job, and you know what? I did.
If that's what you need, Jason, you can have this one.
Because I'm not sick of being in front of a camera, because I have a very, very large ego, I will be doing another Facebook Live tonight, facebook.com/JasonRants, or of course you can text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-8770, and I will send you a link so you can follow me on Facebook, also Todd Herman, Michael Medved, and Ben Shapiro. But tonight, around 7 to 8 o'clock, sometime in between there, I'll be doing a Facebook Live. We committed to doing this every single night during the stay-at-home order. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.